Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a juicy week one matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month, $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's bring on Bob Walk. Who better to talk to this morning after yet another just vintage? I mean, he's only been around for 10 minutes, and yet there is such a thing as a vintage Paul Skeen start. Bob, the Cy Young is basically his at this point, right?
Yeah, I would think so, unless he really has a horrible rest of the month of September. He's got an ERA in the ones as a starting pitcher. I mean, that's almost unheard of. His lifetime ERA is still in the ones, for that matter. But that, of course, doesn't really matter for the Cy Young. You know, not a huge amount of wins, but, you know, nowadays, you know, you're not going to see guys with big amounts of wins. You just don't pitch that many innings anymore to be able to accumulate that. But that is what it is. And so you look at all the other columns, all the other stats, and, you know, he's up there first, second, third, almost everything. Big strikeout night last night. So, I mean, he's pushing toward the top in strikeouts. You know, been a long time since I think Bob Veal, I think Greg said last night, was the last Pirate we had lead the league in strikeouts. So, you know, that would be kind of a cool feather in his cap also to tie up everything at the end of the year for the voters.
Bob, depending on who you want to say here, I might be asking you to go back some ways. Paul Skeens is the best Pirate starting pitcher since who?
Well, you know, the Pirate history isn't full of great Pirate pitchers. You know, we've had two Cy Young winners in the history of the club, which goes back into the 1800s. So, of course, you know, Cy Young Award wasn't Cy Young was pitching then, so there was no Cy Young Award.
Ron was his beat writer, Bob. Ron Cook had the first one-on-one interview with Cy Young, but go ahead.
Yeah, I would believe that. I don't know if he may be the best ever if this continues, even for just a few more years. You know, obviously the most successful guy we've really had would be our last, and one of the only two Cy Young winners we've ever had would be Drabek. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, I would have similar feelings about. He would go out to pitch for us in a given night, and I'm like, well, we're winning this game. Doug's on the mound. And that certainly, I mean, obviously it doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, that's the way you feel for sure about Skeens. Even against a team like the Dodgers, I was interested last night. I love to see him pitch all the time, but when he's going up against one of the cream of the crop teams, and the Dodgers are certainly one of those, you know, that's really a lot of fun for me to watch and see how he handles this lineup where there's really hardly any resting spots, you know, where you can, like, look ahead and say, well, there's my escape hatch if I get in trouble. It's hard to find somebody like that in that Dodger lineup when they're all healthy and they're all playing. So that was impressive to see him put up six shutout innings, all the strikeouts against those guys, and put us in that position to sweep. So he's definitely the big man. He's the best there is. I would think about 3 or 4 months ago, I was getting asked all the time, you know, what young pitcher would I compare him to? And, you know, I would say, oh, Gooden or come up with some other names. But, you know, after this season, there might be nobody really to compare him to, just Skeens.
Mm. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Bob Walk is on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's interesting that you say that, Bob. So let's expand the conversation just to any pitcher you've ever seen and in this context. And this is what always and every time blows me away about Skeens is the depth of the arsenal. I mean, how many guys have you ever seen that have a complete mastery over this many pitches.
Yeah, that's definitely true, and that's part of the whole package. And I'll go back and I'll bring up Gooden again, because he was a guy that I thought was just incredible at an early age. You know, I saw him actually pitching a Triple A playoff game in Richmond the year before he was Rookie of the Year, and he was just awesome. But it was easy to see why. He threw extremely hard. You know, if you had today's measurements out of the hand, he definitely would be, you know, a 98 to a 101 guy. I mean, he had the great fastball, and he had a Sandy Koufax curveball, Nolan Ryan curveball, straight down, threw it hard, very tough to hit the ball that would break like that at that velocity. But those were his two pitches, and that's what he dominated everybody with. Skeens is kind of a thinking man's pitcher with great stuff and great command. He throws anything where he wants to. It's like watching, somebody that's pitched for 7 years in the major leagues and is in his prime, still has the stuff when he was a young man, still has, the knockout numbers that you would see as a scout. But at the same time, he's got the knowledge of a veteran pitcher, and he's acquired the command of everything. And to see that all together now at his young age, in his second major league season, all that come together already is unheard of, and I've never seen that before.
And, Bob, it seems pretty apparent that his, you know, leadership, whether it be more of a just go about, do your business leader, or more of a vocal one, he's shedding some of that on to the other young pitchers on the staff, given the way that we've seen guys like Ashcraft pitch, Bubba Chandler in the early going, Mike Burrows every now and then. Like, it seems like he has really taken hold of that leadership part of the game, too.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point you're making. That's a fantastic point, because I always forget to talk about this, but yeah, he's already established himself as the guy everybody goes to, the guy everybody looks up to in that clubhouse. You know, it doesn't matter what your age is or anything. He is the man down there, and you see it, everywhere you go, where you see him interacting with the players, whether it's watching him during batting practice, or as you've said, just watching the way he talks to people during the game, going from, you know, a couple different starters. And I've even seen the interaction between him and the players, the hitters during games, which, you know, I don't know what they're talking about, but it's there. He has that relationship with those guys. It's the whole team. It's not even just the pitchers. It is, like I said, watching a guy that's in his prime, 6 or 7 years into his career, and he's at his very best in all phases, including the leadership role.
The Pirates, Bob, have a top five record since the All-Star break. They are even with the Yankees at 25-19. Milwaukee, I mean, they've just been on another level. They're 30-15. They lead all of baseball since the All-Star break. But have you noticed just a different attitude around the team and in the clubhouse since that break in the season?
Well, I think the attitude really has been changing, evolving from early on when the manager's change was made. I think within a couple of weeks, you saw a different vibe amongst the players. And, you know, the vibe doesn't change the offense. You know, a vibe isn't going to help you score runs. But the feeling was already there that, you know, they're pulling for each other, and they're playing together. They're thinking more about team stuff instead of individual goals, and which is incredibly difficult to get guys to do when the record is what it was, say, you know, going back into June, to get guys to think of the team instead of themselves. Because, you know, the young guys are worried about getting a career started. Older guys are worried about, you know, continuing their career, probably going to be somewhere else. And so to get those guys together and play the way they have played, and especially the way they're playing now, I you know, I got to really tip my hat to Donnie. That a phenomenal job. I think basically his personality and his character has rubbed off on this team. The work ethic, you know, having a Chuck Tanner be positive about everything attitude. You know, the Jim Leland, I'm going to be honest with my players and tell them exactly what it is, and I'm going to speak truth to them. And he's all of that in one package.
Bob, we'll leave it with this one. If you could wish for one position to be shored up for next year, what would it be?
Well, I don't really care. I want under the Christmas tree. We need two legit hitters that move the needle. Old way of saying it would be two guys that are run producers, are RBI type guys. But I know that, you know, knocking in runs is out of favor. But I want two guys. I don't care where they play. That can sit somewhere in the middle area of that lineup and make our offense better than it was this year for the whole year. Right now they're scoring pretty decent, but I'm talking about the way it was all year. Our offense has to be better next year. Has to. We got a great opportunity here with all these young starting pitchers, and we can't let it slip by.
Bob, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, take care, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Bob. Bob.
Great stuff from him. Could be the greatest Pirate pitcher ever by next year.
I was wondering. I mean,
consider that.
Yeah,
listen to this, Donnie. Phrase it this way: neither one of us were around for guys in the 1920s and 30s. What was one guy's name with one finger? Did he even play for the Pirates? Mordecai One Finger something or other. Ron was there for that. If you had one pitcher to win one game for the Pirates, anybody in their history, in their prime, I'm not sure I wouldn't take Skeens to be that guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be him. The only possible argument is we haven't seen him in big games because the Pirates haven't put him in that situation.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to argue that Drabek or somebody,
the Candy
is
Man,
more of that guy, yeah, or, I mean, Even Blass in the
Blass, you know, for sure.
In the late
actually,
late
they, game maybe of 1971. Maybe we have to go Blass still. When you have game, what was it? Game 4 and 7.
Game 4 and 7. I think.
Yeah,
after
from
he got rocked around early in the series, did he not?
He did, and then he came back and won a huge game, and then game 7. No, Steve Blass gets that mantle right now. If you could take any pitcher right now to win a game to save the world for the Pirates, to save their franchise, I can't not take Steve Blass for that right now.
But Skeens, I think, out of like his talent and ability,
yeah,
is definitely the best that I've ever seen. I mean,
me
now
too.
That's only 30 years on Earth, but
me too.
And there's not a ton of pitchers to put in that group.
I mean, this is getting to be frightening in a good way, and to not take advantage of it last offseason was practically a legitimate crime. If they don't do it this offseason, then I can't even imagine the reaction. All right, Donnie. Here we go, my friend. On to a new frontier. You're ahead 1-0 in the quiz show. We started last week because college football started last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, I think it was a Pitt Duquesne-centered quiz show. Limits, this is half of your show, although it's Donnie against me and me against Donnie. And I need a win. I don't want to fall behind here early in the game. I need to win today. Let's go. What's the theme?
All right, Joe.
We never went with the theme song for the quiz show Limits, and I took a lot of time to record that. I'm outraged.
Oh. Well.
Jeez, Donnie.
Here it is.
Hello, quiz show. Oh, Limits questions blow. We're glad you're here, so grab a beer with Donnie and Joe.
My questions do blow today, and I'm not apologizing for that. We have five questions. We have five questions. We're changing it up on you a little bit today with five, so the pressure is on. This is like a Eastern Conference divisional type of game.
Yeah.
Where it's not the
short
conference
series.
Not the conference championship.
It's the ALDS.
Yeah.
Joe, I will give the first question to you.
Thank you, Limits.
The New York Jets were founded in 1960.
Yep.
But they have not always been known as the Jets. When the team was invented in 1960, this is the name that the Jets were known as for 3 years before becoming the Jets. And Joe, I will give you a hint. This name is the name of a current team in the league.
Holy horse oil.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have time to sit here and go through every team in the league. So I'll say that they're, I'm not going to say the New York Seahawks. I'm going to say the New York Giants.
That is incorrect.
The answer came to me because I thought back.
No way.
To, I don't know, what was it, like late 2000s, early 2010s, they would do like those AFL, like little like
Commanders
over game. No.
What were they?
It's the Titans.
Donnie?
The Titans, he's right.
You got it.
Donnie always gets out to a lead.
Because they wore
things.
Like those hideous uniforms. And
I know Brett they Favre did. Was now there, I remember. So. Brett Favre was there in 1960?
Well, he probably was.
Next.
Ron was there too.
All right,
I'm ready.
Limits, are you there?
I'm ready.
Donnie, Joe, patience. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Jets passed on quarterback Dan Marino in the 1983 NFL draft. Now, the Jets did pick a quarterback in the first round. Donnie, who was the quarterback that the New York Jets took?
Oh, man. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think. Joe definitely knows.
Joe knows that. You could tell.
I mean, it was prime Joe era.
Back in 1983, prime Joe era.
Timer here. Limits. We can't let this go on forever.
What was the guy's name? It was like Dave O'Brien.
One. Dave O'Brien is incorrect.
Close, but it was Ken O'Brien.
That is correct.
Man. Yeah, baby! We're tied! Donnie,
I felt O'Brien. I couldn't think of what his first name was. I think there was a Dave O'Brien at Waynesburg with me.
There may have been. Limits, I'm up.
All right, Joe. Third question is to you. During the 2010 season, before the Steelers and Jets played in the AFC Championship game, Daniel Sepulveda was the Steelers' punter, but he got hurt, and the Steelers needed a new punter.
Yes, he did. Oh.
Who was their punter in the AFC Championship game against the Jets?
Chris Gardocki.
Incorrect.
I hate you.
I'm feeling pretty good about this one. Jeremy Kapanos.
Ding, ding, ding.
That hurts because I was actually around the team at that time. I got my Gardocki.
I went to that game with my mom.
Did you?
AFC Championship game.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
Bill Gay scored a touchdown, didn't he? Or was it Ike who picked up the fumble? One of them forced it, one of them scored.
Gay scored.
Oh, man. See?
This is good, though. This is good. This is good back and forth.
That hurts. Next.
All right, this is to Donnie,
what's the
correct?
Final question worth limits today. Final questions.
Seven. Three. All right. Well, next question is to you, Donnie.
Donnie, you just can. What did he just say?
Wait.
Yeah, Joe.
I thought the final question was worth three.
This is the fourth question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't really matter who gets this. We're going to the final question.
Do you want me just to skip to it?
No.
So it's me here.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, Donnie. The Steelers beat the Jets in said AFC Championship game to go to Super Bowl 45. Who led the Steelers in tackles that game?
Ooh.
What a great question by Limits.
I'll go with Lawrence Timmons.
You guys are just batting 1,000.
Oh, come on. That was just a lucky guess.
Are you looking at a
box score of the game?
No, I just went with an inside linebacker. I don't know.
Why not the Farrier pigeon?
He would have been my second guess. I don't know.
Forget it.
Timmons was in like his third year.
Forget it. Who gets first choice here?
Joe, it's to you.
And if I get it, if I get this question, I win, right? All right.
All right, Joe. The Steelers beat the Jets to go to the Super Bowl in that game.
You looked at one game for the entire quiz show. Okay.
Get over it, Joe. How many of the starting 11 for the Jets can you name?
On offense or defense, Limits?
On offense.
How many of the starting offense can I name? I'll say 3.
Bonnie, can you name 4?
I'll go for it.
He'll go for it. Let's do it.
All right,
there's got to be a time limit here because Alrighty. The wheels are already turning.
All right.
He only gets 3 seconds of silence between
get
these.
Four.
All righty. Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
Santonio Holmes.
Yep.
Nick Mangold.
Yep.
DeBrickishaw Ferguson should have been one of their tackles.
Donnie Football, the winner.
I was also going to say LaDainian Tomlinson, but I don't know if he was the starter in that game. He was on that team.
You got it. With extra room to spare.
I love Nick Mangold, by the way. That's how I knew he was like my... He was the feather in the cap for me there. He was my hidden gem. Joe is just in distress.
So who was their starting runner?
It would have either been him or Sean Green, if you remember that guy.
No, I don't, as a matter of
like
fact.
Like S-H-O-N, not to be confused.
Was Anthony Beck on that? Green. Read us their starting lineup now, Limits, if you have it. You must, since that's the only game you looked at.
I have.
What was their starting lineup?
Mark Sanchez, LaDainian Tomlinson, Braylon Edwards, Jericho Cotchery.
Jericho Cotchery.
Jericho Cotchery. That's a hell of a receiver.
Santonio
really.
Holmes.
Both teams had him.
Ben Hartsock at tight end. DeBrickishaw Ferguson, Matt Slauson, Nick Mangold, Brandon Moore, Wayne Hunter.
Wow. If I really thought about it, I probably could have got four or five, but I would have had to really. Braylon Edwards was an obvious one.
Yeah. I knew they had notable receivers.
I'm hurting now. And wait till you hear what I did in the bets from last week, Donnie, although I understand you weren't very good either.
I believe you and I had the same horrible record.
Let's talk about that next. Limits, this is absolutely horrifying. It really is. That was actually a good quiz show, and I commend you for it.
Thanks.
You're supposed to say thank you.
I did.
He's been very angry with me lately, Donnie. Do you sense that? Like, I know
lately.
He's not feeling well.
He's playing a little bit hurt. You know, the shows aren't always easy when it's...
I hear you, but he's being nice to you. That's the thing. So I hear that he's playing hurt. I feel, you know, when I had a sinus infection recently, I was extremely short-tempered. But that didn't mean that I treated people differently. And he's been very, very nice to you today. And not very nice to me, quite frankly. Have you noticed that? Short answers? Being honest.
I've noticed during the breaks when you try to get his attention and he just gives you a what?
Well, what?
But
exactly.
I will say there's been times or two where I've done that to Pony on remote shows.
Okay. Would you do it to Mueller on the same day, though? Or who do you treat better or more favorably on the PM show? Because whether it's a parent or a producer, you're always treating somebody in your family a little bit better.
Well, Pony's normally the one asking for more. Like,
yeah.
As the guy that leads the show, it's always,
right.
Hey, I need this. Hey, I need that.
Right.
So he has more of like the nagging role.
Right.
Whereas Malzi has more patience.
Yeah. So it's like Pony is the nagging mom and Malzi is the patient and quiet father.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good description.
Okay. All right. Just curious to get behind the PM show, get behind the curtain there. So do you ever snap on either one of those guys? Have you ever snapped on a show? I have, like, hundreds of times.
So we actually had yesterday, it ended up working out in my favor. So we also do picks as a show. So I kind of do two different shows picks. And we have a rule at the end of the year. If you lose, if you come in third place, you have to do a bet that is laid down by the winner. So I lost my first year with them, and I, in very quick manner, like paid off like the shame bet that Pony wanted me to do. And now 2 years in a row, Pony has come in last. Chris put down a shame bet for him that he has not done.
Oh,
I put one down for him that he has not done. But I dug my heels in. And yesterday I brought it up on air because my idea was that Pony lost, I won. He has to produce the show for a week.
I think that has to happen.
And,
but you have to get boss's clearance on that.
Well, it's funny you say that because it just so happened that yesterday we had this conversation on air and our big boss happened to be listening and he popped in to the booth. Now, the guys were at the casino. He popped in and he said, I love that idea. We got to make that happen. Now,
so do I.
I also said we can wait until the off season now, or we can wait until you know, we hit summer again next year, I can be patient because I don't want to, like, sabotage, you know, the show in the biggest time of the year.
Right.
But I seem to get the clearances from the
limits. You all for that one?
In the
Pony,
building.
Pony the producer. You like that?
Oh, I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
That would be gigantic.
What great content it would make.
Oh,